This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy. Back at it on Cashing Out. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Remember, you can always follow the program at Dustin Sweetelson on X, at VSiN Live. Same handles go for Instagram, and my TikTok is the same as well. So, at Dustin Sweetelson on TikTok, where I think my next guest is on TikTok, too. I can't remember where I watch your videos, if it's on Twitter, if it's on TikTok, if it's on Instagram, everywhere. But he's a man of many talents. He is Greg Hoops Peterson. You know him from here on the network, all over the place. Coast to Coast Hoops is the podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. And on X, at GUnit underscore 81. And Greg joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. My friend, I hope the bets were hitting on Tuesday. We're going to look at Wednesday's card here, which is always an interesting slate of teams and matchups. But I think this Wednesday is actually pretty solid compared to weeks past. So I want to begin and throw a few non-official plays maybe from the write-ups at you, but some big teams that are playing. And the first one is Alabama and South Florida, where the Crimson Tide are laying 14.5 in this matchup with USF. The total is 182.5 because Alabama is playing. If I force you to do something there, what would you look at?
Absolutely. And by the way, on TikTok, at Greg Peterson Sports, just my first and last name in sports. So we've got you there. And Choco Cat is a star of those videos. But the star here is the fact that Alabama should be able to get a lot of good three-point looks against this South Florida team. I'm with you. I'm willing to lay it with Alabama. Heck, I'd be willing to go up to like 17 in this spot because, for one, you're going to get a lot of possessions. You've got two teams that are in the top 20 in terms of total possessions per game. But for South Florida, what really makes their defense tick is generating turnovers. Top 55 team in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. Though Alabama plays at warp speed, they really don't turn the ball over too much. And with teams that gamble for turnovers like South Florida do, they typically leave themselves vulnerable from three. And they've been outside the top 250 in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage, with LeBaron and Filin and company doing such a good job of going bombs away from three. I'm with you on Alabama now. That total of 182, I will look at the under, yeah. Because think about it this way. 181 cash is the under, and I do think that South Florida is going to be a little bit too sloppy with it, and I don't know if you get a ton of second and third chances on glass, so I do like that under, and I'm with you. I'm willing to lay with Alabama.
Yeah, it might shock their system. All right, I'm going to do what you're not supposed to do in this spot. I'm just going to bring up bets that I like tomorrow that I bet and have Greg co-sign.
Oh, I love it. I'm ready on all of them.
So that's the thing. So Greg writes up his favorite bets over at VSiN.com, but if you want his breakdowns of every single game of who he likes, Coast to Coast Hoops is your podcast, and at GUnit underscore 81 for all the information. So he doesn't even know I'm asking him about this game. Creighton and Xavier. Xavier's laying 2.5, total's 151.5. I bet the under. What would you do here?
Absolutely. I like the under as well. And when I was doing my write-ups, this total was closer to 148.5 to 149.5. Had it been the number that it was right now, this would have made the write-up. So, it always depends a little bit on timing. Sometimes your favorite bets are the ones that are at the current time. And right now with this line, I'm right there with you because it is a Crane team that's really slowed themselves down. They're outside the top 275 in terms of total possessions per game. Josh Dix is the only guy that's averaging double figures for them. And Xavier doesn't allow a lot of second chances. They're a top 25 team in terms of defensive rebound percentage. They've been sort of mid-tempo, and the offense has been better. For Xavier, they've gotten past the 70-point plateau and now 5 out of their last 6 games. But I don't think that Creighton does their part with this total. Creighton is also not going to put you under duress. They're outside the top 340 in terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis, so Xavier is going to be able to dictate the tenor of this game, having to play out there in Cincinnati as well. With Xavier, a 2.5 to a 3-point favorite, I'm willing to lay that number, and I'm right there with you. I'm in on the under.
All right, well, talk to me about tomorrow because I know you have a million bets that you love. And I was looking at this one, too. I faded Albany last week against Yale. That didn't work out for me. But we've got Albany taking on Stony Brook. Matchup there in New York. Total's 140.5. The Seawolves laying 10 and a hook. What are you looking at here?
I'm going to be willing to take the points with Albany here, mainly because with Stony Brook, they just don't do a great job of executing their two-point shots, and that also puts me on the under as well. It's a Stony Brook team that's outside the top 250 in terms of their two-point shooting percentage. Now, Albany is not great down low either, and for Albany, I've been really off-put by their turnovers. They're outside the top 275 in terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis, and that's going to help you out with the under as well. Stony Brook, by no means a blazer. About 275th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. They've brought in some guys in the backcourt like Rob Brown from Nichols to be able to help out a little bit, but neither of these teams do necessarily the world's greatest job inside. Neither of these teams generate a lot of second and third chances on the glass for them as well. And a big reason why I'm willing to take the points with Albany is that right now, other than Richard Goods, nobody else for Stony Brook gives you more than 4.5 rebounds per game. So I'm with you on that under in Stony Brook versus Albany, and I'm willing to take the 10-plus year with Albany.
Greg Hoops Peterson is our guest. Coast to Coast Hoops is the podcast. You want to see the daily write-ups that are available at VSiN.com. Greg breaks down his favorite matchups. We're running through some of them right now. And let's go to Oakland and Northern Kentucky. Oakland was 2.5-point dog a moment ago. It's now 1.5, depending on where you shop. And the total, 167.5. How do you want to play the Grizzlies and Northern Kentucky?
I am in on the under because with Northern Kentucky, it's a relatively mid-tempo team, 163rd in terms of total possessions per game, and there's a lot of dead possessions in their game. They are 11th in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis on defense, about 235th to 240th in terms of taking care of the ball as well. And with this Oakland team, they're not giving themselves a lot of second and third chances, but they should be able to exploit a Northern Kentucky defense that has been outside the top 225 in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. Brody Robinson, the transfer from UT Arlington, has Oakland playing much more efficiently than they did a season ago, and just flat out for this Oakland team. I think that they're going to do a good job on the glass. LJ Wells is the only guy for Northern Kentucky that really gives you more than 5 rebounds per game. Now, Northern Kentucky does a good job in terms of giving themselves some second and third chances on the glass, but they'll give you some second and third chances as well. You've got Barry Navarula. Hopefully I got that name correct. He's been able to give this Oakland team right around about 6 rebounds per game. With Oakland, they are much better with their three-point shooting than a season ago. I think that those 10 possessions help you out with this total under. So, like the under, and I felt like Oakland should have been a slim favorite here. So, I'll bypass the 1.5 or so and take the money line.
All right. The Florida Gators, the defending national champions, are laying 44.5 against St. Francis of Pennsylvania. What do you want to do with a spread that big? Would you dare lay it, or are you going to take it with St. Francis?
I'm sure that there's many odds makers saying like, I wonder who the schmuck is that's going to take 44.5, now seeing 45.5 with St. Francis. I raise my hand. I'm the schmuck that's going to take the 44.5 to 45.5 points. Like with Florida, they're going to win this game. Do not sprinkle the money line on the red flashes. If you do and they actually win, well, you might be able to buy yourself a private island. But that said, with this Florida team, they're shooting less than 27% from three. Boogie Flan just has not really worked out for them. They're turning the ball over quite a bit. They're outside the top 250 in terms of ball security. And there's one thing that St. Francis does okay. And really, it's only one because they don't do a whole heck of a lot well, but they're about 150th in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. Now, I do think that this is going to be an up and down game. Both of these teams in the top 80 in terms of total possessions per game. St. Francis is under the tutelage of a new coach before they go down to the non-D1 ranks. So they've been speeding themselves up a little bit. But I do look at this spot and it's just too many points. Think about it this way. You could have St. Francis of Pennsylvania lose this game by a point a minute for all 40 minutes. You cash your bet. So I'm in on the over and give me the red flashes with a quadrillion points.
Chatting with our buddy Greg Hoops Peterson, VSiN college basketball analyst, the podcast Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcast, the write-ups up at VSiN.com every single day. I know you don't have a play on this one, but an old school Pac-12 matchup, Arizona State and UCLA, Bruins laying 8.5, total is 146.5. Would you look at side or total if you were forced to do something here?
At a 9+, I'm willing to take the points with Arizona State. UCLA just has not been the same defense this far this season. They're outside the top 75 in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. And Mo Odom is one of the more underrated players in all of college basketball. He's for this Arizona State team is giving you over 6 assists per game. He's shooting over 40% from 3. Now, I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression with that Arizona State 3-point shooting. So I'm hoping that this total gets up a little bit more because I did make my total in that neighborhood of 146.5. So if we can get to a 147, I'll be in on the under. But I like the points here with an Arizona State team that they themselves have been good in terms of generating turnovers. Not a team that's going to give you a lot of second and third chances, but UCLA has dealt with a lot of injuries. They should have Tyler Billadeau out there on the floor, but he's been sort of in and out of the lineup for UCLA. It feels like they've been trying to get acclimated with Donovan Dent coming on over from New Mexico, where he played an up-tempo brand of basketball. UCLA outside the top 275 in terms of total possessions per game. So a little bit of a change over there. Give me the points with Arizona State. And if we can get this sold up just a little bit more, I'll be in on that under as well.
And then last one, Santa Clara laying 11.5 against North Texas. Totals 142.5. Herb Sendek, former Arizona State head coach, doing a really good job with Santa Clara. And you want to lay the points with them here?
Yes, absolutely. I'm willing to lay up to about 14.5 with Santa Clara. Neutral court game, but should be a Santa Clara crowd. If I'm not mistaken, this is going to be in the great state of California. And for Santa Clara, they have a nice advantage on the glass, top 70 team in terms of rebound percentage. And now they're generating a bunch of turnovers as well. A top 45 team in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis. North Texas has not broken the 64-point barrier in a road or neutral court game all season long. Currently dealing with one of their top scorers, Will McClendon being out of the fold for Santa Clara. They give themselves a lot of second and third chances, and they've slowed themselves down as well. Outside the top 170 in terms of total possessions per game, North Texas 335th. Give me the under and Santa Clara laying the number.
He is Greg Hoops Peterson. Check out his podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts, and all of his write-ups up at VSiN.com. Appreciate you, Greg. We'll chat again next week.
Looking forward to it, Dustin. Thank you.
Hey, before the line moves, the Sharp Plays is already there. They don't follow the market. They help shape it. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources across the NFL, NBA, MLB, and college hoops, they deliver the edge serious bettors rely on. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of the line. Visit SharpPlays.com.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. And in case you missed it, the New York Knicks have won the 2025 NBA Cup. 124-113, your final score there. And I think the big takeaway for me is I've come around on the NBA Cup mattering. Now, if my team didn't win, I'd tell you it didn't matter that much. But I think situationally for New York, the way things played out, getting a chance to play for something that matters in this competition with a new-look team, with a first-year head coach taking over for Tom Thibodeau, and the formula played out how you'd want it to go, especially in the final game. The biggest issue for New York at times is that they are so reliant on Jalen Brunson scoring, and if he has any off night, they don't have a chance of hanging with any team. Well, OG Anunoby dropped 28, 9-3 in this one. You had off the bench Jordan Clarkson adding 15 points. Tyler Kolek had 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. This is the new formula. This is why you brought in a guy in Mike Brown who can utilize these guys differently, who can stagger their minutes in those spots where Jalen Brunson's off the floor, the offense can keep flowing, and I think you saw it pay dividends today. Can they win the championship, the real championship? Because this is not really a real championship. That remains to be seen. But can they win the East? Absolutely. And that will matter in their build towards trying to find a way to win a Larry O'Brien trophy. But more on that in a moment. What I like to do at this point in the night, every single night here on the show, is if you're listening to me right now, there's a pretty good chance you didn't catch some of the shows earlier. Plus, we have a bunch of podcasts that you may not be aware of. So what we like to do is share the best clips from some of my coworkers here on VSiN in a segment we call Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
All right, we're going to begin Night Bites. Sharp Money is the podcast. It used to be a show. I used to be a part of it. They fired me from it. Now it's Patrick Maher and Mike Somich. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And these guys were looking at the odds this week, situationally, where the Baltimore Ravens have a matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, that number is 2.5. Oh, it's up to 3. Ravens laying 3. No, that's the wrong game. Hang on. Why are they talking about? No, it's the Ravens and the Patriots this week. Okay, so I'm going to find out what happens in this clip. Sharp Money, Ravens and Bengals, a discussion from Patrick Maher and Mike Somich as part of Night Bites.
Baltimore 24-0 over Cincy. Baltimore was laying 3 on the road. They cover it. Maybe more about Cincinnati.
Joe Burrow came out this week and caused a whole stir because he said he wasn't having as much fun playing football. I can tell you it was not fun. Joe Burrow playing football in this game.
He didn't look like he was enjoying himself.
Constantly harassed, sacked 3 times, 10 quarterback hits, an additional 5 passes that were deflected. It was a rough watch. It was a rough hang. The Bengals get shut out. The 2 interceptions for Burrow, one was his fault, one was a tip pass. I don't think Lamar looked great. Lamar Jackson went 8-for-12 in this game, Patrick.
Yeah.
He carried the ball twice. Now, that were carries for 12 and 14 yards, so at least they were productive. But he was also sacked 4 times, which is very un-Lamar-like as well. I don't think the Ravens are fixed. I think the Bengals are broken.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. That game literally happened 2 days ago. That's where my brain's at. A lot going on in this brain. Some of it's not that good at times. That wasn't good. But, yeah, coming off that game, I don't know what to make of Baltimore. I'm having trust issues, man. I bought low on them at 22-1, but at no point in the season have they looked like the contender we thought they would be. Actually, I'd say this. They looked like the contender that they were supposed to be through 3 quarters against Buffalo in week 1. Since then, they've been broken. So I can't take too much out of them taking care of Cincinnati, who plays literally no defense. All right, that was the first clip in Night Bites. The second one should go a little bit better. As VSiN by the books, Jensen Lewis alongside Dave Ross. They get you started at 7 a.m. Eastern time every single day. They got a head start looking at Monday Night Football. San Francisco laying 6 on the road to Indianapolis. And these were the guys' initial thoughts of that matchup.
This is also where the rubber meets the road here. Something's got to give. Niners are 6-2 on the road, and they'll get the extra day of prep here going on Monday night. Colts, even with everything that's happened, have been a fortress there at Lucas Oil Stadium. They're 6-1. So very fascinating stylistically. What do you get? Phillip Rivers, a guy that competes, even at the ripe old age of 44, he'll get the extra day of rest and rehab and prep to be ready.
Yeah, we'll find out about Phillip Rivers here. Look, San Francisco's defensively is not the marquee names that we're used to seeing right now. It's not the aggressiveness that we've come to know from San Francisco. But Phillip Rivers is going to have a test here, because if this game is a shootout, and that's kind of the game plan for the Niners going forward with the lack of guys that they can depend on defensively and a loaded offense that's getting closer to full strength every week, they're anticipating shootouts. Do you believe that Indianapolis, with Phillip Rivers and that pea shooter, they're going to go shot for shot with Brock Purdy and CMC and Kittle and all the weapons they have on the outside and Jennings? I just don't see it, man. The story with Indy's been fabulous. It's been fun to watch, but it's over. It's ended. The Daniel Jones injury ended their chances of being relevant unless somehow Anthony Richardson comes out to save the season. And man, that's a sentence that if that's what you need to save your season, the odds are your season's not going to be saved. So I'd look at San Francisco laying 6 on the road. They've been pretty good in that role this year under Kyle Shanahan this year. I think that they are the play, and I don't love laying road favorites, especially that close to a touchdown in that game. All right, we have an awesome college football podcast. It is called the College Football Betting Podcast. It is hosted by our very own Tim Murray. And Tim initially placed a bet on the Crimson Tide coming up in Friday's matchup with Oklahoma freaking Homa. The Tide are your favorite right now. It was split heading into this matchup when the numbers first dropped. And Tim, despite placing that bet initially, says he's a bit concerned about where he stands in his position.
Alabama was a quick bet for me. I bet him on the pick'em, earlier in the betting process. I'm not going to bet off of it, but it's one of those games where I'm like, you know, did Alabama miss their chance a month ago, right? As much as I continue to talk about how much they dominated that first game, Adam, and didn't get the victory, did they squander their opportunity to beat Oklahoma. And now you're going to get a better Oklahoma squad. R. Mason Thomas, you would imagine he's going to be back on that defensive line. John Mateer, you would think with 3 weeks off, he's going to be a little bit healthier, probably the healthiest he's been since he had that thumb surgery. So I'm a little bit wishy-washy here. Still going to ride with the Tide.
He's nervous. Tim's nervous, people. I think the under's the way to go. I don't see any way this game goes over the total. You can flip a coin, figure out who you want to bet on from a side perspective, but neither team's going to score. I trust both defenses to show up and do what they need to do. The game being played in Norman, I think, gives Oklahoma an edge in dictating the style of the fight. That doesn't mean that they can win, but I think it's going to be played on Oklahoma's terms. Because of that, I think the under is the only way to look for Alabama and Oklahoma. All right, last clip coming up here in Night Bites. We've got the guru, John Hansen, where he puts out some of the best information you're going to hear anywhere on a show we call Prop Points here on the network, noon Eastern time. And John was looking at this Thursday night matchup. We've got the Rams going to Seattle. And Devontae Adams, his status is in question. Who can benefit? Well, John Hansen says he likes Colby Parkinson to be someone who benefits from Adams being a bit hampered or potentially not available in this game.
Colby Parkinson. The Rams are so good that if they wanted to, which they may have to, Sean McVay could just flip a switch. It's like, all right, well, now we're a tight end offense, basically. We throw to the tight ends and that's it. You know, obviously we'll throw to Puka, but we're tight end centric. They can do it. They've got the horses like Colby Parkinson, who they acquired – brought in from Seattle a couple years ago. Rams may not have Devontae Adams, of course. They may get Tyler Higbee back, which does throw a little bit of a monkey wrench. But I think Colby Parkinson's carved out a good role here. The dude has scored now in five of his last six. I liked him last week based on the schematics, and he did come through.
That was John Hansen, Prop Points. Catch it on the network here, noon Eastern time. You know, looking at some of the props coming out for that game, I do not see Parkinson available as an option. John talking from a fantasy perspective as well. Right now, Puka Nacua, he has the highest prop total set at 96.5. The next receiving prop for the Rams is Kyren Williams at 9.5. I like betting on running backs going up against Seattle front. Seattle funnels a lot of stuff so that you can throw it to your running backs out of the backfield, and they just believe that their guys are quick enough to limit any sort of explosive plays. The problem with betting that in a matchup with the Rams is if you go back and look, they don't throw to their running backs very much. And there's been a concerted effort to mix Blake Corum back in. Maybe Corum receiving yards if it's super low is an option, but I would stay away from that right now. And even Puka Nacua, I don't know if I want to bet him, especially when you factor in that this is a guy who gets banged up game to game within games where he'll miss a series or two. You just never know what he's going to do. Jackson Smith and Jigba, his receiving prop for Thursday night set at 93.5. It feels like he's automatic right now to go over 93.5. I mean, every single week, it feels like that dude is getting you 100+ or in that range. And that's why he's a heavy favorite for Offensive Player of the Year. We'll do a full prop breakdown as some more of the numbers come out over the course of the next 24 hours here on the network. All right, that's where we stand with Night Bites. Let's get some best bets from a legend in the game. And he is Scott Spritzer, and he joins us next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long, broadcasting as per usual from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. This next conversation I look forward to every week. I've been talking to Scott Spritzer for years, and if we're going to talk about handicapping and betting, there's no one better to speak to. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's taught me more about betting than anyone not named Patrick Maher. It goes Patrick, it goes Scott, and they kind of introduced me into this world. And Scott joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Check him out at DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X. And Scott, we've reached the time of year where we're covering everything during these chats. Mm-hmm. We've got bowl games. We've got college basketball. We've got NBA. We've got NFL. We've got the college football playoff. Like, there couldn't be more happening. But I want to ask you a random question as a sports fan, not even as a handicapping. I'm a Knicks fan. The Knicks just won mm-hmm. the NBA Cup. I am conflicted on if I think this should matter. Because if the Knicks hadn't won, I tell you whatever team won, it didn't matter. But I think the Knicks, for them to build on momentum and prove what they are as a team, that they're a championship team, they needed this. But I still kind of think this thing doesn't matter. Where do you stand on the NBA Cup? Do the Knicks winning, does it matter at all?
I think it matters to them a little bit more than maybe what we saw, you know, like last year when we watched the Cup. First of all, I think this is a goofy tournament, other than the fact that I like it being in Vegas, a mid-season NBA tournament. I don't get it. But anyway, as far as the Knicks, I do think it helps them. I think the more they get around the new coach, you know, who's hired in the offseason, and to some an unpopular firing last year, you know, with the coach who had done so well with this organization. So I think that the more they're around him, the more they win, the more they build that confidence and the trust in each other, players and coaches. I think it helps. So the fact they were able to do this tonight, you know, you're going up against Wimby. Okay, limited minutes, 24, 25 minutes. But the fact that you knew how to get the job done, I think does help this team out quite a bit. More than if, you know, a team that's 500, let's say a Spurs team, end of the year, probably not going to go deep into the playoffs, going to be around 500. I think it means more to the Knicks for their run a long term than it does for a team like the San Antonio Spurs, who are a year or two away.
All right, good. You made me feel better about it, okay? You made me feel better, like, not to be ashamed that my team is celebrating winning something that I don't know if it matters or not. Let's go now to the bets. NFL this week, week 16 is here, and you've got the Patriots taking on the Ravens on the road in Baltimore. It's going to be your Sunday night football game. Baltimore laying 3, totals 48.5. You think it's a good bounce back spot for New England?
I do, and I got to be right up front, Dustin. I had my worst NFL weekend of the entire season this past weekend. I mean, one of the very few things I did right was doing a video that I put out on Twitter backing the Buffalo Bills, and even that was looking pretty scary, down 24-7 at one point. But New England got outscored 28-7 over the final couple of quarters. If they would have won that game, it would have been a situation where I would not have been on them this week. There's a really good situation where you go against teams that have won 10 games in a row in the NFL. It's like 37-61 against the spread, those teams. They're even worse when they've won 11 in a row, but they don't have to worry about that. They lost that game. If the Pats had won that game, I'm not on them. It's as simple as that this week. But we get Drake May coming in off the tough outing. He's played well all season, and the Baltimore defense has really, after producing that shutout last week, I don't think they're going to be, you know, on top of their game. We haven't seen them play very well all season long. They've been bad against the pass almost all season, not to mention some issues against the run. And then how about Lamar? You know, you look at his last five games, 3 touchdown passes, 5 picks. And since the win over Miami on October 30th, when he had a big 4 touchdown performance, he's a 56% passer the last 6 games. They only outgained Cincy by 19 yards. The offense had 2 touchdowns and a field goal. So I'm kind of surprised it got up, or it's a solid 3, and I grabbed it with New England.
Scott Spreitzer is our guest, DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X, handicapper for a very long time here in Vegas. Chargers and the Cowboys. This one has Dallas laying 2.5, I'm seeing over at FanDuel, a total of 49.5. And while the Chargers are dealing with a quarterback who has a broken hand, he's showing he's got a lot of guts and they can make a lot of plays. Yeah. Scott, I think the Chargers are a potential Super Bowl long shot. I think it's that wide open and they're a huge number. But you like them this week on the road at Dallas catching the points.
Yeah, basically it's a situation of, I don't think Dallas has a lot left in the gas tank over the last couple of weeks, Dustin. I mean, you know, we went against them when they lost 44-30 a couple of weeks ago to Detroit. The performance against Minnesota, listen, when you make J.J. McCarthy look that good, I'm sorry, your defense is not where it should be. And you've got problems, it seems like, with Pickens the last few weeks, whatever is going on between his ears. So I do. I think that they're going to struggle this week. And, you know, even though you got a quarterback who's getting banged up 100 times a game and has the broken non-throwing hand, I think they get the job done again here. I'm a big Dak Prescott fan. I mean, more than most. But, man, I just don't think he's got what needs to be around him to be able to get this team over the hump. And we've seen it the last 2 weeks.
All right, then last one in the NFL, it's automatic. If the Lions lose, you bet them the next week. And they just so happen to be taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers with an old quarterback coming off a short week, going to Ford Field. I'm with you. You got to lay the points with the Lions. Talk to me about Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, and you just hit it on the head. I mean, what, 15 games in a row that they've won following outright loss. And in the last 12, they've won those games by an average margin of 15 points per game. The most recent was the win over Dallas 44-30 coming after a loss to Green Bay. And off their previous five losses this season, the Lions averaged 39.6 points per game. I'm still not a fan of the Steelers. I'm still not buying. I'm not crazy about this defense. They just won back-to-back games against anemic passing offenses. And obviously the level of competition against this offense goes way up from where it's been the last couple of weeks. So I think Detroit minus seven is the way to go here. And I know the defense has been shaky the last few games. They're 2-3 straight up in the last five, but they lost to the Rams, the Packers, and the Eagles. I can forgive them. I like them here.
All right, let's go to college football. Some bowl games coming up. The Cure Bowl on Wednesday. Old Dominion in South Florida. South Florida dealing with a coach change. Quarterback changes. 2.5 is the spread. South Florida's laying it. The total just went from 52.5 and 51.5 right as I was looking at it. You like ODU here in the points?
Yeah, I do. I didn't get the best line. I did get 4.5, and now it's coming down quite a bit since then, Dustin. So buyer beware, because it's a lot of 2.5s out there right now. But I do like him to win this game outright over South Florida. Both teams will have backup quarterbacks starting this game. Byron Brown is going to be out for this game. He's going to be an assistant coach for South Florida. He's much tougher to replace than what Old Dominion's doing with Colton Joseph, because this kid for ODU has already carried the ball 50-plus times in his college career. He's averaged over 7 yards per carry. He's a big kid. He knows the program. And I really think that Old Dominion is a program football team where South Florida is going to really miss Brown. Plus, they don't have their head coach who got him here. Of course, Golesh, you know, he's took the Auburn job. And South Florida is going to be coached by a defensive line coach, and that defense didn't play all that well this year. So the line has moved down, but I still like the Monarchs in this one of ODU to get the job done.
Scott Spritzer's with us, betting legend at DocSports.com at Scott Wins on X. All right, let's go to the college football playoff, because those are the bowl games that everyone is locked in for, and the market's decided. Alabama is the favorite. You know, it's weird. You don't see it often, but the books were split. It was like 50-50 when it opened. Half Oklahoma, half Alabama favored. Now everyone's decided. It's Alabama laying 1.5, total of 40.5, and you like the Tide here on Friday?
Yeah, it was the first playoff bet that I made when the lines came out. I jumped on Bama. You know, they talked about should Bama be in the playoffs. I don't care. But here's why they are. They have a four-game stretch where they beat Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Tennessee. That's why they're here. And Notre Dame lost to A&M and Miami. But Bama held Oklahoma's offense to a touchdown and 3 field goals in that loss to OU. They outgained Oklahoma 406 to 212. You know, OU had a pick six in the mix there in the first half. But Bama averaged over 5 yards per carry to just over 4 yards for Oklahoma. Not per carry, but per play. And then Ty Simpson, you know, he's a guy who beat Oklahoma for 326 yards earlier this season. He did have that one pick, but nearly 8 yards per pass against what's been a very good Oklahoma defense. You throw in the Oklahoma offense, which isn't anything to write home about, and I think Bama gets the job done. I would like it a little bit more if Alabama had a running game. Unfortunately, they don't, but I still think they get past the Sooners in this one.
And then real quick, Alabama college basketball coming up on Wednesday, laying 14.5 against South Florida. 182.5 is the total. I laid it with Bama, and you laid it with Bama. Yeah. Talk to me. Why do you like the Tide here?
Yeah, they're off that loss. They've dropped, 3 of 10 games this season. But look at who they lost to. They lost to Purdue, Gonzaga, and Arizona. All three of these teams could be playing for national titles. So it's a wrong place, wrong time situation for the Bulls in this one. Alabama beat Illinois off of their first loss. They whipped UNLV by 40 off of their second loss. And Nate Oates is going to run. This team hits 62% of their two-pointers. They're going to fly up and down the court in South Florida. They're going to oblige. They love to run up and down the court too, but they're not anywhere near in the class of Bama. And I like the Tide coming off the loss. So 14.5, I've seen 15.5. I like Bama minus the points.
He is Scott Spritzer. Check him out over at DocSports.com, at Scott Wins on X. I appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. We will chat again very soon.
Take care. Good luck, Dustin. Have a good one.
Oh, great stuff from Scott. We've got a lot to get to as well. He hit us with some bets. I'll have some more bets. Adam Bernard will have some hockey plays for you. We're going to tackle the board for Wednesday. Coming up in our VSiN Morning Bet segment, we've got NHL, we've got NBA, we've got college basketball, and more on the other side of Cashing Out. We'll be right back.
back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you hanging out with us all night long. We have covered a lot of ground. We talked Denver Broncos. We talked Houston Texans. We looked at the latest numbers coming out of the weekend of football against the spread, over, under, situations that make sense this week. If you missed any of those chats, you can always go back and download the show wherever you get your podcasts. Right now, it's time for the VSiN Morning Bets, and we will begin by looking at the NHL slate coming up on Wednesday, and our producer, Adam Bernard, is going to join us to do so. Adam joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, we've got a few games that you like, and let's begin with the Kings and the Panthers. Florida is a favorite of minus 142, plus 120 the other way with LA. The total is 5.5, and the total is what you're looking at in this matchup?
I'm looking at the total here. Yes, Kings are opening up a Florida back-to-back on Wednesday before wrapping up a three-game road trip in Tampa on Thursday. I'd expect to see Darcy Kuemper go for the Kings since Anton Forsberg just started. While the Kings have been a strong road team this year, 10-3-5, they have dropped their last two away from Crypto.com Arena. On the flip side, Florida has won two in a row and five of their last six. They went over this total when they met in early November, but that was Anton Forsberg starting for the Kings. In both of these teams' meetings last season, they went under this total easily. Los Angeles has played under this total in three straight games and six of their last eight. I do expect Sergei Bobrovsky to get the start for the Panthers because they have a back-to-back coming up this weekend, so they'll have a chance to rest him for one and play Tarasov for the other. Bobrovsky is playing real well lately over his last four starts, just allowing 1.25 goals per game. The Kings rank fifth worst in goals scored per game, so they don't put the puck in the net, but they're third best in keeping the puck out of the net, so they're stingy. I think Bobrovsky compensates for his, Florida being 19th in goals allowed. I will say this. So I like the under 5.5 if it's a Darcy Kuemper, Sergei Bobrovsky matchup, but if Anton Forsberg goes for the Kings, I would switch that to the over 5.5. You can get the under 5.5 at multiple books at even money right now. But this is definitely one of those situations where you wait for the goalie announcements.
Should mention Adam, Total Hockey Now. Check out his show. You can see it on YouTube at Pucking Thoughts on X, one of my favorite Twitter handles of all time. Next game, Utah and Detroit. Red Wings laying 125, plus 105 the other way with the Mammoth. Your total is 6.5. Who do you like in this matchup?
So we got a back-to-back alert here. Both of these teams played tonight. Utah on back-to-backs are now 1-4-1 all on the road. Detroit on back-to-backs is going to be 1-4. Looking at the neither team does great in these back-to-backs, so where do we look here? Now, usually you would look to a goaltending advantage. Utah started Vitek Vanacek tonight, which means they're saving their starter, Karel Vemelka, for tomorrow. Detroit started John Gibson tonight, which means they're going to go with Cam Talbot tomorrow. Now, Cam Talbot has been pitiful over his last few games here, 0-3-2, allowing 4.2 goals per game in that stretch with an .851 save percentage. So, but I'm going to take the Wings here because if you're looking at the opponents they face tonight, Utah played a heavy and physical team in the Bruins who ranked second in the league in hits. They lost 4-1. They had a sloppy third period. Meanwhile, the Red Wings played the Islanders, not as heavy of a team. They had a strong third period to rally for a 3-2 victory. If I had to pick a total, I'd lean over. But with the Red Wings getting the sleep in their own beds tonight and having some late momentum to carry over into Wednesday, I like the Red Wings on the money line, minus 125.
All right, then last one here from Adam. We've got the Hurricanes and the Predators going toe-to-toe in Nashville. Hurricanes road favorite of minus 180. Nashville plus $1.50. The total 6.5. You want to go puck line and catch that -1.5 plus 140 with the Canes?
I do. And actually, thanks to looking up on VSiN.com, Circa has the best number at plus 145. So that's where you want to go if you want to take that one. Carolina comes into this one on a four-game winning streak with three of those coming in the shootout. They also have an extra day of rest here. And listen, I know the Predators, they've turned a corner, but I'm not for now, but I'm not buying it long term. They're 7-3 in their last 10. UC Saros is 6-1 in that stretch, but I'm going to go with Carolina here because Brandon Bussey is the expected starter here. When they met two Saturdays ago, Carolina won 6-3 with him in net. He is a red hot shot rookie here. 11-1 so far this season, 2.05 goals against and a .911 save percentage. Hasn't lost a start since October 25th. I mean, some might look at this as a potential trap game with Florida and Tampa Bay coming up for the Hurricanes, but I don't really worry about that with a Rod Brindamore coach team. Carolina is supremely better than the Predators in any way you can imagine here. If you're going to look at the Predators' last victories here with five of their last seven, three of those came against the Blues twice in the Flames. So I like the Canes to cover the puck line here, and I got to get that winning streak to five games.
He is Adam Bernard. Check out his show, Total Hockey Now, on YouTube, at Pucking Thoughts on X. And Adam, appreciate this as always, and I think we got a bunch of winners in there. Thank you as always for doing this.
Thank you for not bringing up the Rangers losing to the worst team in the league 3-0 at home tonight. Appreciate that.
Well, I would have to know who the worst team in the league is to bring that up. So that's unfortunate Vancouver. For everyone involved. Oh, thank you. Vancouver. Okay. Great city. Not good at hockey anymore. Shout out to Pavel
Great
Bure.
Great city.
Shout out to Pavel Bure. Thanks, buddy. All right. Moving on to college football. A few bowl games coming up for you on a Wednesday here. See, this is kind of the rhythm we're looking for this time of the year. Old Dominion, South Florida going at it in the Cure Bowl. And I like South Florida, but I went money line. I'm being kind of weak here, but I went money line with the Bulls. I'll explain why. Old Dominion comes in 29th in points per game. They can score, but their quarterback, Colton Joseph, has opted out. 2,600 pass yards, 1,000 rush yards, 33 total touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Quinn Hennickel is going to take over. He's completed 15 passes this year, 102 rushing yards on 20 attempts. And on the other side for South Florida, they're not going to have Byron Brown. They also lost, you know, their head coach, Alex Golish, to the Auburn job. But Gaston Moore is going to start at quarterback. Gaston Moore is a redshirt senior. He's a dual threat, originally at UCF, then Tennessee, and then came with Golish down to South Florida. He's a veteran. He's a dude who's been at a few big programs, and I think he should be enough to make sure that South Florida wins this game. They also have some weapons. Now, we don't know some of the opt-outs so far for the Bulls, but based on what I'm reading, these guys should be available. That can always change between now and kickoff. Nekai Davenport, 6.6 yards per carry. They have two other running backs averaging 6.4 yards per pop on the ground. They have wide receiver depth. Singleton has 877 yards and 8 touchdowns this year. Koger, 7 touchdowns and 500 yards. They have two others with at least 400. It's a pretty dynamic offense, and I think they have a guy at quarterback in Gaston Moore. Great name, by the way. I think he'll be able to get enough done here for South Florida in this spot. Third scoring offense, 41 points per game. Second in yards per game at almost 500. I know it's not Byron Brown, but I do think the system's in place and he knows the system and they're going to get going and score enough to beat Old Dominion. So I went money line there. The other bowl game, the Ventures Bowl, 68 Ventures Bowl. I mean, you could have gone one number down and appealed to a lot of people with 67 Ventures. You could have went one number up, 69 Ventures, and appealed to a lot of people. I would be in the latter group in case you were wondering. But instead, it's the 68 Ventures Bowl. Louisiana and Delaware. Oh, man. Could you imagine you're setting up your Christmas vacation? You're like, honey, I know you want to go somewhere, but we got to make sure we go to Mobile to see Louisiana and Delaware play football. I'm making fun of it, but I'm betting on it. So Louisiana comes into the 69th in points per game, 38th rushing offense, 119th passing, 108th scoring, 122nd rushing defense, 79th passing offense. For Delaware, it's their first ever bowl game, transitioning from FCS, 39th in scoring, number one scoring team in Conference USA, 113th running the football, fourth passing, which I don't think is going to be easy against Louisiana. See, I'm someone who grew up in the Northeast. I then went to the South. You know what I found out in the South? The athletes are different. They're very different. And while Delaware's a cute story, they have a quarterback who can sling it, and Minnanucci. He threw for 300 yards, four of last five, 3,500 yards, 32 total touchdowns, seven interceptions. And Louisiana's not exactly like a scary team. I kind of like them in this spot. I laid the 2.5 here. Their quarterback, Lunch Winfield. First team, all-time name. He left their last game with a lower body injury, but I think he's going to play, and he's a dual threat. 1,300 pass yards, 627 rush yards, 19 total touchdowns. I like Louisiana as a favorite. I think they are correctly the favorite. I laid the 2.5 there. Some college basketball that I like coming up on Wednesday's card. South Florida and Alabama, I laid 14.5 with the Tide. They're 30th in effective field goal percentage. They're 10th in two-point percentage, 118th shooting the three, while South Florida doesn't shoot the three well at all. They're 264th. They're not going to be able to keep pace. I think the Tide at home run away with this thing and cover a big number. I also went under 152.5 and Creighton and Xavier. You just look at Creighton. It's not what we're used to seeing from McDermott with a lot of guys who can shoot from the perimeter. They're 210th in three-point percentage. And then for Xavier offensively, they're not great shooting the two. I mean, they're 297th at 47%. They're not a good free throw team either. I think both teams' defenses end up controlling the pace of this game. We go under 152.5. And finally, I took 1.5 with Oakland at Northern Kentucky. I think Oakland can win this one. You know, you got a coach there in Greg Campy who plays the analytics game. His team can usually shoot the three pretty well. They'll be able to hang with Northern Kentucky. They have a chance to win outright, so I took the 1.5 with them. And then finally, a player prop. When it comes to the NBA, Matas Bouzilis from the Chicago Bulls, over 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.